Worry is something that most all of us have some experience with. Would you agree with that? Not too many exceptions to the whole worry deal. In fact, I find myself worrying about the same things you worry about. You know, worry about things like money and like health and like the future and like people. You worry about people sometimes, yeah, and worry about work. We have all these things that can easily be a part of what we end up worrying about. So I think that's just good and healthy for us to start with just saying there's very few exceptions probably of this issue that we're talking about today. And it's really interesting to me the way that Jesus addresses this issue. And the passage we're going to look at actually comes from our reading that we've been doing in the Gospel of Luke. And that's exactly how I got interested in talking about this today. But Jesus approaches this in Luke chapter 12 in a way that someone described as kind of calm observation. Now, there were times when Jesus was far from calm, and when he really got after the Pharisees and scribes and Sadducees, those interesting names of people in the New Testament. But here, it's almost this way of just trying to reassure us about this problem that is practically universal. And it's not just, of course, something that we're dealing with in our age. It was true in Jesus' day. And so worry is something that was very much a topic that was important for him to address. But I believe that if we listen, if we really listen to Jesus, that it can help address our anxiety, can help address our worry. So as I mentioned, our passage is from Luke chapter 12. And what has happened in this passage, or what's going on in this passage, is that Jesus has just been approached by a man who wants Jesus to do him a favor. And he says to him, "Teacher, would you see that my brother makes sure that he gives me my half of the inheritance?" So it's kind of an interesting request made of Jesus. And Jesus kind of right away just says, "You know, I don't know why you're asking me to do this." And then he goes on to say, you know, be really careful and aware and on guard against greed, gets all kinds of greed. And he says, you know, a person's life does not consist in the abundance of the things that he possesses. He just tries to really lay it out there that, you know, you're getting worried and worked up about something that isn't really what life is about. And then Jesus told a story, as he often did, to illustrate what he was talking about. He tells the story of a farmer that had this an amazing crop one year. And he just had so much stuff from his harvest that he just didn't have enough room in his present barns to store it all. And so he was thinking, you know, what am I going to do? And so he said, you know, I think I have a great idea. I'm going to tear down these barns, and I'm going to build bigger barns so I can store all this stuff, and then I can just relax. You know, I can take life easy. In the vernacular, I can eat, drink, and be merry because I've stored up, you know, many goods for many years. And it just seemed like a great plan to him of how to handle this situation. And then we have another perspective that comes into this story, and it's the perspective of God. And God says, you know, you're really a fool, actually. You're not a wise person for doing this. You're a fool because this very night, your soul is going to be required of you. And then it's kind of like, who's going to start enjoying or inheriting the things that you saved up for yourself? And then Jesus makes this statement. He says, this is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself but is not rich toward God. And so that's the setup to the passage that we're going to read, and that starts in verse 22. And let's just see what Jesus says next. Then Jesus said to his disciples, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. Life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. Consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn. Yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable you are than birds. And who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? Consider how the lilies grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it, for the pagan world runs after all such things, and your Father knows that you need them. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions, give to the poor, provide purses for yourself that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will not be exhausted, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So let's talk about today this idea of winning over worrying. And winning over worry, and we can do that by resting on God. Let's just talk about what Jesus is talking about here, about some reasons why we should not worry. That might be helpful for us if we can just sort of get a little bit of a grasp on this. What are some reasons why we shouldn't worry? Well, you're going to have to pardon me for this first one because it's just like so obvious, but I just had to put it down, and that is because Jesus says not to worry. I mean, just as simple as that. You know, as parents sometimes, you know, the kids are always like, well, why, you know, can't we do this or why can't we do that? And if you've gotten so exasperated that at finally point you do, just say, because I said so. That's why. You know, it's just like, that's all you need to know. And I don't think that's how Jesus is responding to the disciples here in just sort of a frustrated way. But he's just basically putting it out there that worry is something that we can be free from, that we don't have to be. You know, we sometimes feel like, well, I just can't help but worry. But Jesus is really telling us something different. And he says to the disciples, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. And then Jesus, you know, he's really trying to make this point with the disciples. And so he uses some lessons from nature. And I thought about this, and I thought about how, what are the things that can help us remember something is when we're surrounded by something that's common, something that we can see. You know, we see birds every day. We see flowers just about every day. And so if we think about these illustrations that Jesus gives, it helps us to remember the lesson that he's teaching us. So he just talks about the birds and he talks about the flowers and how God cares for them. And so he's reassuring the disciples that they don't have to be anxious about necessities because the same God who takes care of the creation is our Father who takes care of his children and who will provide for us. So we all have a need for food and water and clothes and shelter, but these things are not what our heart should be set on or what we should be worried about. Jesus said. He says, do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it. In the same chapter, Jesus told the disciples that there would be times they would be brought before the world to give an answer about their belief, their faith in him. And that could be a scary experience. That could be something that you'd be a little bit, you know, worried about. But he told them not to worry what they should say. He said, when you're brought before synagogues and rulers and authorities, do not worry about how you should defend yourself or what you will say. For the Holy Spirit will teach you at that time what you should say. You know, that's, I think, one of the most challenging times is kind of like when we feel like we're on the spot and we have to say something. You know, one of the things I can be worried about is what I'm going to say on Sunday morning. I'm probably worried about this sermon to some degree, because I wanted to be able to get up and have something to say. And I'm not sure Jesus is saying, you know, you really shouldn't have even prepared anything. Just let the Holy Spirit teach you what you should say. I'm not exactly sure that's what he's saying, but he's saying when it comes to these situations where you're put on the spot and you're like, maybe for persecution, you know, it's like you're having to answer for your faith. You don't have to worry about what it is you're going to say, because the Holy Spirit at that time is going to be right there to help you. And the parallel passage to the one we're looking at today that's found in Matthew, that you might be more familiar with, Matthew's gospel, mentions Jesus saying that we don't have to be worried about the future. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. You know, so that's one of the harder things not to worry about, isn't it? Is the future. It's like, what's going to happen? What's going to happen to me? You know, what's going to happen to my family? What's going to happen to the thing I'm involved in at work? You know, and so that's one of the most challenging things. But Jesus says we don't have to worry about the future. Exercise in seminary, in a class I had in seminary, and so they gave us this scenario. And the scenario was, you've gone to bed and you're asleep, and all of a sudden, you know, at the foot of your bed in your room, Jesus has appeared and he has a message for you. What is that message? So you were supposed to think, if Jesus all of a sudden was here and he was going to give me a message, what do I think Jesus would want to say to me? Well, this can surface all kinds of things. It can surface, you know, if you're feeling guilty, like Jesus addressing some particular need in your life, or if you're just really having a problem, maybe he has the answer to that problem. But here is something I thought about in this message, and that is, we could all imagine Jesus saying, you know, I don't want you to worry, because he actually said that. I don't want your life to be consumed with worry, as it can happen to us. Do not worry. You can let worry go because Jesus said you could and you should. So that's the first reason. Second reason is that worry distorts what is important. So have you been to the fair? Have you been to some place where, you know, you go in and there's these mirrors that distort how you look? You know, some make you look tall, some make you look skinny. I think that's the one I like the most. You know, and you know, the different things that these mirrors do, it distorts reality. And that's actually kind of what worry does. It's like one of those mirrors. It distorts what is important. Because of the time and the attention that worry involves, that gives to things like food and clothes and other necessities, it makes these things what's important, because we've spent so much time thinking about them, so much time consumed with them. And Jesus said, life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. So if we're worried about these things, we're making them important. And Jesus is saying, that's not what really life is about. There's more to life than food and clothing and the like. And when we make that our concern, we miss or we ignore life's important concern, which is having a relationship with God and having a life that's focused on his kingdom. And worries have a way of just choking out the effectiveness of God's ministry or God's word, his scripture, in our lives. Jesus told the story about the different soils or kinds of ground and how each responded to the seed that fell upon it. One of the kinds of soil, if you remember, was the thorny ground. This was ground that was infested by thorns. And Jesus describes the people that it represents. It says the seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. So worries, along with riches and pleasures, can clog up or choke out the kind of growth or maturity that the seed of the scriptures is able to produce in our lives. This past week, on Wednesday, a tree service came and took down some trees and some problems that we were having with the yard, took care of that. And one of the things they do, if you want them to, after they take a tree down, is to grind the stump. So they, as they were grinding the stump, because of all the dry weather and everything, it was just like dust was going up all over the place. And one of the workers came and said, "Hey, do you have a hose, you know, that we could use to kind of spray this down as they're grinding down the stump?" So I found a hose, and I found a brand new sprayer, you know, the nozzle thing you put at the end. And so we hooked up the hose, you know, hooked up the nozzle, turned on the water, and he tried it, and just this little dribble came out. You know, this little thing, and he's like, "Are you sure you have the water turned on?" "Oh, yeah, I'm sure I got the water turned on." So we turned the water off. We looked inside the little nozzle thing, and the little holes that were where the water was supposed to go out had been filled with bugs. And now, evidently, I'm sure it wasn't at our house, but in the store, you know, where this was at, these bugs had actually gone in there and died and clogged up the hose so that the water couldn't come out. And he dug all those out and turned the water back on, and it worked great. But that's what worry can do. It can be that which clogs up the effectiveness of the ministry of God's word in our life that allows us or encourages us to growth and to maturity. So it can have that kind of detrimental effect. Luke 21:34 says this: "Be careful, or your hearts will be." Oh, this is another idea of what worries can do. It can weigh our hearts down. "Be careful, your hearts will be weighed down with dissipation, drunkenness, and the anxieties of life, and that day will close on you unexpectedly like a trap." And so, can you imagine getting ready for coming to church today if on each of your hands and on your foot there were weights attached to you getting ready? Jesus here is talking about the fact that we're to be ready for the day, that is, the day that Christ returns, and not to be caught unexpectedly by that event. And so what worry does is it so consumes our mind and our thoughts and everything that it doesn't allow us to live a life that is in readiness for the return of Christ. It's like having weights all on your arms and your legs when you're supposed to try to be doing something. It will weigh you down. It talks about along with drunkenness and along with dissipation, which is living a life in which all you're interested in is money, pleasure, or the like. So that's the kind of hindrance that worry can be on focusing what is important. So reasons to not worry, Jesus says, not to worry, and worry distorts what is important. And finally, thirdly, God cares for your needs. This is a reason why we shouldn't worry, is because God actually does care about your needs. And these are these illustrations that we talked about before. Jesus talks about the ravens. "Consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn. Yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable you are than birds." So the word for ravens refers to a wide variety of crows that could be found in Palestine. In ancient times, and as true as today as well, these birds were among the least respected of birds. But the point is, God cares for them. He feeds them. They can't farm. They can't store up things. So they are pretty much in a vulnerable position. But they're not worried because God cares. God's care includes even them. And Jesus' point is, if he does that for crows, how much more will he care for us? Because we are of much greater value to him. And then Jesus uses another illustration. He talks about the lilies of the field, or these small flowers. They do not labor or spin. They're not involved in really working hard, is the idea. He says, "But I tell you, even Solomon, in all of his splendor, was not dressed like one of these. And if that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And so he uses these very common illustrations to talk about God's care of us, that we register on his radar and that he is concerned that the things that we have need of are going to be met. He talks about in 1 Peter 5:7, or Peter does, cast all your anxiety on him, on God, because he cares for you. Peter doesn't say that we won't have anxiety. He says, he just tells us what to do with it when it shows up, and we're to throw it over onto the Lord. I kind of like this picture. It's like, well, it would have worked, I'm sure, if Peter would have said, you know, just kind of hand that off over to the Lord, or, you know, something a little more calm than casting all your care. Casting has this idea of, you know, you're really just getting rid of it. You're throwing it. You know, you're saying, I don't want anything to do with this. I'm just going to put it all on God. And it says the reason we can do that is because God has a personal concern for each of us. That gives us the encouragement that we need to be able to place or to put our concern, our worries, our anxiety on God, knowing that he really is concerned. In Psalm 55, it talks about how we can cast our burden on the Lord because he will sustain us. He will give us what we need to deal with the things that come into our life. God cares for us. There was a story of a guy, this is probably a fictitious story, but he was carrying a sack of potatoes, and it was a heavy sack, and a guy came along in a truck and stopped and said, hey, you know, would you like a ride? And he said, well, thank you very much. So he got in the back of the pickup with a sack of potatoes, and the driver, as he pulls off, you know, and looks back there a little while later, he realizes the guy's still holding on to the sack of potatoes, you know, and he says to him, he goes, hey, don't you just want to, you know, put your sack down? He goes, oh, no, he said, you know, it's enough that you're giving me a ride, you know, much less my potatoes. You know, he thought somehow he still had to hold on to his potatoes. And I think that's a little bit characterizes how we sort of interact with God on this matter of, you know, God's taken care of us in regard to the biggest need. If we've come to that place of trusting in Christ alone for salvation, then he's carried us and he's brought us into his family for the biggest need that we have. And yet sometimes we're a little bit like, but I don't want to, you know, burden God with this sack of potatoes that I've got. And God is saying, you know, I can handle it all. So cast your anxiety on me. So we're talking about reasons to not worry from Luke 12. Jesus says not to worry. Worry distorts what is important. God cares for your needs. And simply put, you know, worry just can't help. And I know, if you're like me, sometimes when we're worrying, we think we're doing something. And you are doing something. You might be creating an ulcer, or you, at least what you're doing is worrying, right? But you're not doing anything really helpful. I think that's the point here. It's powerless. It can't provide any real help. Jesus said, who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? I know that we're not being exactly logical when we're worrying. Most of us know, I think, at some level that, you know, it's not really helping to worry. But we feel responsible in some ways or sometimes to worry. And I don't think Jesus is advocating a flippant attitude here. like, you know, oh, there's nothing to be concerned about, you know, in kind of a way that doesn't regard the seriousness of the situation. But he's just saying it's not productive to worry. So maybe instead what we can do is direct our energies elsewhere instead of worrying. You know, maybe when we're tempted to worry, you know, we can engage in something productive. Like I thought about like cleaning the garage. It could be something you could do if you just find yourself worrying, or doing something for someone else, or praying. You know, engaging in something that is productive, even though it might not address the particular situation that you're concerned or worried about, but just getting yourself involved in something that is productive can perhaps be a way of just dealing with the concern that you have. Because worry in itself is just powerless. It has no effect on the situation. You can worry all day about something, but it's not going to affect the outcome. Now, you can pray as a result of your concern, and you know, that could affect the outcome. That could make a difference. But worry by itself is, it just can't help. And so finally, the reason not to worry is that God's kingdom needs your focus. And if you're worried, it's hard to give your focus to God's kingdom. Jesus said, after all of this talk about worry, he said, but seek his kingdom. And these things, when he talked about don't seek what the pagan world is all about, which is the meeting of our physical needs, like clothing and food and those kinds of things. But he said, instead, seek God's kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well, the things that you need. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will not be exhausted, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. So here's what I thought about. I thought maybe this passage is less about worry and more about the importance of having a kingdom focus. Worry is just the thing that gets in the way, and so it has to be addressed. But what the real emphasis of what Jesus wants to say is that what our lives really need to be about is having a kingdom focus. Jesus is making the observation that if you make earthly needs, or you make money, or you make possessions your focus, you will be in line for worry. It's just inherent in those things. You can't hardly deal with them without having worry involved. But if you seek God's kingdom, if you live in a way that honors God's presence, honors God's rule, his cause, his work, then you will not have to worry about worry. It's kind of like you can be worry-free if what your focus really is on things that this life can't affect or that can't be taken from you. And he uses these illustrations about how things can be robbed from you, or they can deteriorate, or they can be something that just falls apart. If all of your focus is on those the kinds of things that are part of this world, and the example that he gives of seeking the kingdom, he says, is really serving others. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. And you that have been here know that we've had this whole series on action. It's this idea of our response to needs around us. What needs to be one not only of compassion, and that compassion needs to lead to action, where we're actually doing something. And that's why today it was really great, and I hope you were listening when you heard some opportunities for action. In Harvest of Talents, opportunities for action in Operation Christmas Child, opportunities regarding stepping out and the baskets there. And these are just a few of needs that we're surrounded with, and that you're gonna come in contact with others as well, that call for your action. And Jesus is saying here, what is really a part of a kingdom focus is this idea of serving others. That's one of the ways that it becomes expressed through our lives, is in meeting the needs of others. You know, if that's what you invest in, if that's what you give yourself to, if that's what you what you make your treasure, then God will give you what you need. To pursue God's kingdom means to care for others. Being secure in God's care and provision gives us the freedom to be generous in helping with the needs of others. And Jesus says it's like putting money in a bag that never loses its value, that can't be stolen or it will never deteriorate. It's a lasting treasure. So Jesus wants his disciples to think about where their true treasure lies. If it's on earth, that's where their concern, their thoughts, their heart will be, and they will be susceptible to worry because that treasure is not really secure. It can be stolen by thieves, it can spoil, and then you will be at a loss. Everything that is tied to earth is susceptible to loss. And then, you know, you'll be worried, right? So let's talk about how we can make this personal today. First of all, start noticing when worry happens in your life. It's the very first thing you have to do, because if you don't notice worry, you can't do anything about it. So would you this week just start, when you realize, hey, I'm getting all anxious about something, would you just at that moment stop and just acknowledge, you know what I'm doing right now? I'm worrying. And Jesus said, I don't have to worry. And so then you can start to address it if you can just pay attention to what's really going on in your life. And maybe, you know, you'll get a phone call, or, you know, maybe you wake up in the middle of the night, that happens to me, and you just start feeling anxious or worried. Just start with noticing when worry happens. And then secondly, start praying when worry happens. Start praying. In fact, this is something that Paul talks about in Philippians 4. Do not be anxious about anything. Don't be worried about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So I think one of the most amazing ways that you can see God at work in your life, or I should say one of the more tangible ways that you can actually see God at work in your life, is when you're filled with anxiety and you just stop and you start praying and you just really endeavor with what you can, what you have, to cast that onto the Lord, to give that to God, and keep praying until His peace comes into your heart. And you are experiencing exactly what Philippians 4 talks about. And it's a way of seeing the very tangible work of God in your life as you feel or experience God's peace replace your anxiety. But you have to start praying when worry happens for that to happen. And then start trusting when worry happens. Because a lot of what this is about, Jesus said, is the fact that you have little faith, you know, that's why you need to trust, is because trust will bring about this confident attitude in God's care. And Jesus said to us that we're much more valuable than birds, and he cares for us much more, though that he makes sure that we are clothed more than the grass of the field. And we need to trust what Jesus is saying here, that God will care for us, and trust God to care for our needs. And then, finally, start winning when worry happens. And all I'm saying is by this, not that you somehow start the winning, but that God will bring this over victory over worry as you trust in Him. And I just want to read this passage once again. That as we seek God's kingdom, these things that we often worry about are going to be taken care of. They'll be given to us as well. And that Jesus said, don't be afraid, little flock. Your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom, the blessings of the kingdom. And that we can therefore be generous with what we have. We can take our possessions, sell our possessions. We can give to the poor. And this will in turn be a blessing to us. It will provide for us an eternal treasure that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will not be exhausted, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where our treasure is, there our heart will be also. And so this morning, you know, if you've just found yourself from time to time, or you know, either a little bit or a lot, facing worry in a very real way, I would ask you, would you take some time to read Luke 12, these verses 22 to 34, straight from what the words of Jesus, that can be such a help, such a comfort, such the medicine that we need to be able to deal with worry in our life. Let's pray. Father, we're thankful today that you know everything about our lives, the needs that we have, the concerns on our hearts. And Lord, you have the answer. You are able to supply. And Lord, at times we just don't really consider that we need to trust you more for these things. But help us to be able to do that. Help us to identify when worry happens. Help us to, as well, Lord, just start praying and trusting you and experiencing the victory that we can have over worry. Lord Jesus wouldn't have said that we don't have to worry if it wasn't something that we would have trouble actually doing. He knew that this is something that could work in all of our lives. And I'm just praying for every person here that they might experience a greater victory over worry. Lord, as we trust you, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.